Yes.
Like, but I'm correct. The audio listeners should be able to hear us, so we don't need to stop. Is that right, Kevin? Should we just keep going, or do we need to stop talking?
No, we can keep going. We're no longer muted. That was just an issue with XUSB, which I've since fixed.
We have fixed it.
Sorry, so yeah, it was 2 seconds on there.
Cool.
But yeah, it's rare that we get a KFG together, and so I'm happy to have you here. Yeah, I'm still sad that we don't have you in the studio, right? Because like I love doing KFGD in person, and I feel like that's what we need is a one-on-one KFGD with both of us actually in the same space.
Well, we need the what did I call it? Maybe I never posted this because I feel like there's not as many of us here in LA at this point. But we need the
kind of funny LA office.
But I had a name for it. I call it the guest room.
Oh, that's an awesome name. Oh,
I like that.
Right?
That's it doesn't
have
to be,
you know, I get it won't have the fog machine. Like, I understand you can give a nerfed version, but like, we need that. And then, boom, another idea. We launch that, right? And then we also launch an LA like cast where it's like just the LA people. Like, doing
this is Janet
content.
In Paris.
Yeah, it's me in Paris. And like, I guess yeah,
get Andrew Renee back.
Sure. Yeah, why not?
Yeah, honestly, I'd be with it. Like, I've always been, I mean, I've been saying, right, I'm so down to
you
move
basically
to LA.
Live here anyway.
Yeah, that's the thing is,
I'm always in town.
I'm down in LA, like, I feel like every other week. I almost went down to LA last week, and then I canceled at the last second. But yeah, any reason to go to LA, I'm always down for. And if I can, like, head up the guest room, I'd be down.
Right?
I'd be
like, come on now. Like, it's too good. It's too good not to use.
It's too good. Janet, how you been? What you been playing?
Oh my God, what have I been playing? And then it's like, you're not going to catch me slipping with these embargoes. What have I been playing? I've been playing Fae Farm.
Spider-Man 2.
I've been playing Fae Farm. We're too close now to make that joke.
Yeah, no, as I said it, I was like, are people going to believe me if I actually say this out loud? How's Fae Farm?
That's trending 3. Fae Farm's good. I am pretty early on. I haven't consumed a lot of other people's content. I know y'all with, I think Joey had did some content with it with y'all, like on Gamescast or something, or at least that was kicked around. I know the What's Good people have covered it, so it's getting a little bit of a buzz. I'm enjoying it so far, but I'm very early.
I've seen a lot of people talk about it, and I have no idea. I don't know where this game came from. I think maybe it was a Summer Game Fest thing.
It was at SGF,
because I remember going to SGF and seeing like the posters
they had. So it was at SGF. I previewed it at SGF, and also they had it at PAX, and not just that, but they were the lanyard for PAX. So I was like, y'all got some marketing money thrown, like, you know what I mean? Like, those things are and also they had a big like booth area at PAX as well. So it's like, oh, there's some real dollars behind this marketing.
Who is this, a Square Enix joint? No, this is Phoenix Labs.
It's like, I feel like is it technically indie? Like, it's an indie game?
Yeah, I mean, it's developed by Phoenix Labs, it's published by Phoenix Labs.
I have to make a confession when it comes to the whole like indie game debate. You know my line for indie games now?
What's that?
Is it covered by the Indie Informer, aka Jill Grout? If it's on Jill's website, I'm like, that's an indie game. Jill could put Death Stranding on there, and I'd be like, that's an indie game. Okay.
I mean, I just gave up on it a while ago, because I used to try to make the hard argument of like, hey, if you have a larger publisher, you're not an indie, like yada yada yada, and then Cuphead comes out, and then other games come out, like an Ori and the Blind Forest, and they're published by Xbox, or like a PlayStation will put out a game that's published, but it's like an indie game. And I'm like, okay, well, this doesn't line up, because how is Cuphead not indie, but then like The Witcher is indie, right? Because like that is all CD Projekt doing that. And so I had to throw that reasoning out the window. And I've tried to find other reasoning that fits here and there. And it's that thing where it's like porn, right? You know it when you see it. It's hard to define.
You know, that comes up so often on all of our shows.
Oh yeah, it's my favorite. Because it works so well.
Why are we always mentioning this?
Indie games are like pornography. You know it when you see it.
Yeah. So I want to say that this is that, but now I'm not. Now I'm like doubting everything, but I'm enjoying it so far. I'm a couple hours in.
What's the deal with it? Why is it so special? Why is it like the hotness right now? Are there actual fairies in it? Because it's called Fae Farm.
There are. So I'm not that far in because I'm a humble starting player. Mm-hmm. But I do believe later you get. I think you might get wings. I don't know if there's a spoiler, but anyway, because I'm still like in the preview kind of area. Like they let you do the preview up to chapter 4. Back when previews hit, and then now the full game's out, of course, so people are going beyond that. So yeah, there's magic in it. It's farming, but farming with magic. And I think for me so far, what the special sauce is the ways they remove a lot of friction from the experience of these kind of games. So like, you know, you can jump around, you can like cross the waters, you can traverse really easily. You all of the like, You get handed all your tools immediately. They're like, here's all your stuff. I think maybe you get the fishing rod like slightly somewhere else or something. But other than that, like all your main tools are gotten immediately. A lot of little quality of life things, like when you approach, you know, something, like I'll say a plant to water or a mound of dirt to dig up, and you like hit the whatever the interact button is, it will automatically use the tool that you need for that task. So like it removes like a lot, and that's not like for every single task. Like I think you do swap between like general tools, your like staff and your fishing rod, at least near the beginning. But stuff like that, there's just like a lot of quality of life aspects to it. And obviously everyone that makes a game in any genre is thinking of the games that came before, what they want as players. So I don't mean to imply that other developers don't have those considerations, because obviously a lot of thought goes into every decision in designing a game. But especially speaking to the team at SGF, like it just felt like they really did a lot of work and the work paid off in terms of thinking of how to make things simple, but also acknowledging that part of the appeal of a farming sim is an aspect of tedium. So it's like, how do you toe the line between tedium and streamlining in a way where people that play 100 plus hours are still going to be having a really good time, even like 100 hours later. So, you know, do they succeed? Jury's still out for me, just because I'm not far enough in to really make a call, but I'm enjoying it and I'm ready to keep going with it.
Hell yeah. Are you the type of person, are you checking out all the farming / I guess life sim games that come out year to year? Because what, last year the hotness was Disney Dreamlight Valley, which I'm sure still is the hotness, right? But like the year before that it was Animal Crossing, and I feel like once a year we get another one of these. Are you the kind of dip in every single year when we get the
I dip into one? A lot of them, not all of them. Like I have a streamer friend, Robo Dessert, who like does like all of them, and he rated me during my Fae Farm stream. I'm like, oh, are you playing this? And he's like, no, I'm burned out, I can't. I gotta take a step back. And I was like, that's real. I understand. Because he's really in the weeds. I'm not nearly as in the weeds. I play like, the mainstream hits. I'm the Madden 2K of farming sims. Like, I'll like, come up for the big ones, but I'm not in the weeds, you know?
Well, Janet, we're here talking about indie games. You know, a lot of indie games are developed using Unity, which is included in today's stories because we're talking about Unity adding on some extra fees, Assassin's Creed Mirage previews, and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on youtube.com/kindafunnygames and twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. Remember, you can use Epic Creator Code Kinda Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. To be a part of the show, head to kindoffunny.com/KFGD to write in with your questions, squad ups, and more. And remember, patreon.com/kindoffunny will get you the show ad-free plus a bevy of bonus content. Housekeeping for you, in case you missed it, episode 3 of Greg and Brian Altano playing Zelda Tears of the Kingdom is up right now on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Of course, that was funded thanks to your support over during on the Patreon thermometer push that we did last year. If you want the full series right now, you can go over to patreon.com/kindoffunny, where all the episodes are available for you. But right now, episode 3 is up. And let me tell you, I've been talking to Roger about this edit, and he's hyping up. He's like, yo, the first 3 episodes are great, but once you get to episode 4, that's where things start to kick in. And so you want to catch up now so you can see the chaos really happen in the next couple of weeks. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Brave Athos, Jedi Master Deadpool, and Delaney Twining. Today we're brought to you by Rocket Money and DraftKings Sportsbook, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is, and forever will be, the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have 5 stories today.
A baker's dozen!
Starting with our number 1, Unity is adding a fee for each time a game is installed. This is Brendan Sinclair at GamesIndustry.biz. Unity is adding a new charge for every time a game using the Unity engine is installed, the company announced today. Starting January 1st, a Unity runtime fee will be charged to any game that has passed a revenue threshold in the past year and a lifetime install count. The amount of the fee and the thresholds in question vary depending on the type of Unity subscription the developer has. For Unity Personal and Unity Plus users, the thresholds are $200,000 in revenue a year and 200,000 lifetime installs. For Unity Pro and Unity Enterprise accounts, the thresholds are $1 million in revenue a year and 1 million lifetime installs. The fees also vary, with Unity personal developers having to pay the most for every install above the threshold, that is 20 cents, while Unity Enterprise accounts pay the least, with 1 cent for every install above 2 million. The fees are reduced for developers in emerging markets, with Unity personal accounts paying 2 cents per install above the threshold, and enterprise accounts paying, I guess that's half a cent per install. Existing games built on Unity will also be hit with runtime fees if they meet the threshold starting January 1st. The fees do not apply to non-gaming applications. Quote, "We chose this because each time a game is downloaded, the Unity runtime is also installed," the company explained in adding the fee. Quote, "Also, we believe that an initial install-based fee allows creators to keep the ongoing financial gains from player engagement, unlike a revenue share," end quote. Unity said that its runtime code has billions of monthly downloads. Now, this is a story that I feel like for a lot of the listeners, it's like, okay, what's going on here? I don't understand game engines. I don't understand the economics / politics of this shit. The reason why this is story number one is because as soon as this broke, I went on Twitter and all of my developer friends were talking about this and how wild this is, right? Going as far as to like even some of my developer friends being like, yo, if you really want to fuck up our financials, just download our game a bunch of times, because with each download now we have money owed over to Unity.
Right.
Janet, have you been seeing some of the conversation happening around this?
I haven't hopped on to see it yet, but I also have a lot of developer people that I follow like in my circle. So I'm sure we're probably seeing some of the same people, to be honest. Yeah, this is honestly, when you were halfway through like going through the details of what this really ends up meaning, it was giving like when PlayStation Plus got revamped and it had like all these extra intricacies and layers and things, like it's so much to follow. I think it is kind of obviously not for the company, it's not counterintuitive, but just the idea of it is so odd. And I feel like this isn't the first gripe people have had with Unity either. And yeah, I don't know. I feel like it just keeps getting tougher and tougher to be a game developer, which kind of sucks.
Yeah, you know, I think for me, right, like seeing a lot of the tweets come out, right, even people being like, well, I've already developed my game in Unity, and you're telling me that this game that I'm about to put out next year is going to lose me maybe like tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars based on this new structure that you're adding in late into me developing this game. Like, I know that sucks for a lot of people, but also I think it is so anti what we've seen out of other engines, where you look at Epic and what they're doing with Unreal, and of course Epic is a company that has a lot of money, and Epic is like trying to get that to everybody's hands so that they make money, or so that they make their games available on Epic Game Store, so that they can go, hey, put out your game for free, and like in the first 6 months we're not even going to take any money, right? Like, those are the kind of deals that Epic's trying to make on their end that are enticing for developers. Unity, on the other hand, seems to be, yeah, like trying to nickel and dime people based on these small things. And I've seen a lot of blowback on it. And like, back to the indie conversation, right? Like, when I see the Unity logo at the beginning of games, usually it is more of an indie project, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like more often than not, that's where I'm seeing this stuff, or seeing Unity mashed up with. And I feel like that's the crowd that needs the most in terms of financial backing and in terms of like deals like what you're seeing Epic give, right? Like, this seems like such a backwards move on the Unity side of things, right? Charging devs more to be able to actually make their games and put out their games.
Yeah, I agree with you too. I kind of have that association. Granted, because I think it costs, like, if you want to remove that and have your own logo or something, you have to like pay extra
money.
A lot of people just leave it in, you know? Yeah, and I do know, and I don't know if you have more insights into this, on what people kind of, you can, any engine's fine, right? You can like make any game in any engine for the most part, but mm-hmm. I do know that like Unity, at least at a time, was sort of in those leading conversations for what a lot of people do start out with, before they kind of maybe decide where the best spot for them is. So kind of like you said, where there are people that are already deep into this and now they're kind of getting the rug pulled out from under them, it's really unfortunate.
Yeah, and to your point of it striking you as the PlayStation stuff that we've seen before, I wouldn't be surprised if we see them turn this around and go, "Oh, actually, you fucked up." Because really? is that Fallout meme?
I don't know if there's a precedent to them doing that. I think I don't know.
Like, I mean, if it blows back on them in the way that everybody's like, "Oh, fuck this, we're moving out," then I think we see them turn around on it, right? Like, it's that Fallout meme of everyone disliked that. Like, I'm not seeing anybody go, well, actually, guys, if you really think about it, like, there's nobody that's giving that argument, at least from what I've seen, right? It's everybody being like, oh, you're just costing us extra money to make our thing. And now with every download, I saw somebody in chat ask, like, why not do it via purchases, right? Like, isn't that the norm? And I think the reason why they're doing it via downloads is because of Xbox Game Pass and the growing popularity of video game subscription services, where now people are just straight up downloading games, right? It isn't like you can, let's say you can be a Sea of Stars, for example, and launch. Was Sea of Stars also on PS Plus? I know it was on Xbox Game Pass.
Yeah, it was on. Actually, it had a great rollout in terms of being financially accessible to a lot of people.
So let's make that the example, right? If you're Sea of Stars, and I don't know the engine that Sea of Stars uses, you're Sea of Stars, and you put yourself on PS Plus, and you put yourself on Xbox Game Pass. Let's just say maybe there were deals made for them to be able to launch that way, right? Hey, we're getting this money from Xbox, and/or we're getting this money from PlayStation, so that we can fund our development, right? Not have to worry about this money being lost. As Unity or as whoever the engine whoever the engine is for that game, right? They're not seeing as much money for that, I imagine, depending on what the deal is, depending on what the financial setup is there. If it's a per downloads thing, you're not seeing that money back, right? And so you're seeing these games get tons of success and tons of downloads and tons of a larger player base, and you're not seeing that money back. And you get, I think you get a bit salty about it and go, well, how do we see that money? And the solution there is to go per download as opposed to per purchase. I think that sucks. I don't think that's right, right? And like, based on the feedback and based on the outcry online, I think a lot of people are feeling the same way, right? But this, I think the thing is, this feels like an overcorrection of how do we account for that.
Yeah, I think also too, like, it's kind of the first one get out the door gets shot type thing. It's also a, like, what is the norm situation? Because God, what's that? I feel like it's a bad sign when I'm quoting the Joker, but what's that line the Joker says in Dark Knight? Like, when it's according to plan,
you know,
nobody cares.
Smile.
No. Yeah, blessing. That's exactly, yeah. That's exactly what I was going for. No, I'm going to butcher it, but it's, you know, no one minds when it's according to plan, even if the plan is horrifying. And he was talking about, you know, the atrocities that happen every day that no one cares about versus like the one that, you know, is a surprise one. And that's kind of, I think, true of aspects of capitalism, right? It's what we're used to companies getting away with that becomes what's like, oh, well, that's how it is. Like, and you know, you see this with on the consumer side again, it's a little apples and oranges, but like the cost of what games are, like, okay, it's like a lot until eventually everyone does it, and then you're like, okay, and this is our new norm is, you know, 50, 60, 70, and that continues to rise. Of course, again, the reason I say that's apples and oranges is that's a lot about helping, you know, the cost itself of development and putting that on the consumer after a certain point versus this, which is like the cost of the creative outlet and how expensive that can end up being. And I think if Unity ends up being the only engine that has something like this, I think you will start to see that shift. If you haven't already, again, like you've mentioned, like people have gone off of Unity for some time for various reasons, right? Everyone has their engine of choice. But I think this could really force their hand in a negative way. Or the scarier thought, they get away with it and other people are like, hey, why should I be, you know, because people are only the good guy because it also benefits them too. Like, that's also a financial calculated move for maybe they can afford to lose here and gain somewhere else, right?
Yeah. And for the record, right, after looking it up, Sea of Stars was developed in Unity. And so I wonder if this is like a direct reaction to like, oh, fuck, they got 250,000
players. I thought
you
were going to mention the Joker quote.
Oh yeah,
look that up too.
I did look it up and I nailed that Joker quote. You know how I got this smile? That was definitely not the quote. You know how I got these scars? But,
yeah. No, like, that could be it. I mean, that was like that game. Not only the only person, right? But like the only person that knew what that game was you somehow secretly with the draft. But there was a lot of hype around that game, but I never would have expected it to make the splash it did. And I think like the rollout it had with being the rarity of both a PS Plus sector and a Game Pass sector at the same time, like it was just, you know, almost unseen of. Like, I'm sure some people have done that before, but like I haven't seen something like that hit as hard, as big, as easily for people to jump in forever.
Yeah. And people in chat are saying 250,000 copies sold for Sea of Stars, which is actually kind of wild because that then makes me think, okay, how many players does it have based on it launching on Game Pass and PS Plus? Like, that number actually has to be insane. And so yeah, I'm very curious to see how this shakes out in terms of seeing if they reverse this or like, do other engines go, actually, maybe they got a point, right? Like, what happens when Epic, and based on Epic's current run, I don't see Epic doing this, but
yeah.
What if they are like, oh, actually, yeah, like a lot of people are releasing these games on subscription services, and we're losing money based on that. What if we did go per download? I think the tough thing about it, though, is that per download probably isn't the right metric. Mm-hmm. And I wonder how, like, does this count if, say for me, right? Like, I like to save space on my PlayStation. If I am deleting and re-downloading games, does that get counted as part of this metric? Am I costing the developer 20 cents every single time
You know, I always joke like that it doesn't, I mean, it costs like to get the game, right? Like for the consumer. But I'm like, oh, just like I joke about games that I want people to check out. It's like, you know what? Download it and just don't play it. Like, whatever. And now it's like,
wait, don't download. Don't download unless you're going to play this shit.
Yeah.
Because like, they're charging me.
And especially too, when you think of like, again, I don't know how into the weeds, if it straight up is like just straight up a download, because also like, you know, I have multiple devices that I might download stuff on, like, you know, like I have two PS5s that I access and I download my games on both of them so that I can play in my office and in the living room, let alone like if I, you know, if you do crossplay stuff or you're like installing and uninstall. Yeah, it's just I download games and re-download and uninstall all the time. It's like all I do. That's like most of what gaming is. It's just downloading the games.
Yeah. It's funny. I like went on Twitter to see if I can find some of the tweets from devs. Sure. And as soon as I go to my Twitter homepage already, I'm seeing like other devs tweet the same thing. Like my Twitter homepage is dominated. Of course, I follow a lot of devs, right? But like they're all talking about the same thing of like, man, this Unity thing is so wild. Well, the homie Del Walker, who was on the Blessing Show back in February, right? Unity versus Unreal perfectly showcases how an IPO can shift a company's focus from product quality to pumping the stock value, right? Like people are seeing this purely as a money move. And so again, we'll see, man. Like, it seems like a tone-deaf move based on what I'm seeing from a lot of people. And yeah, it doesn't seem good for the space. But
not that it means anything, because now I'm wondering. I'm like, what is the vibe of my Twitter, right? And it immediately it's like just a bunch of indie stuff. But then it's also I do have like someone on my feed as well talking about there's no way they don't roll this back because it's so like bad and everyone hates it. But I don't know. I've seen a lot of bad moves just stay, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, the funny one I saw was somebody being like, hey, if you want to fuck up a dev, like, don't even, based on this, don't even review bomb. Like, instead of review bombing, just download their game over and over. Let's download bomb them. And like that's going to be a thing that's going to fucking ripple back on them. So good luck out there. Story number two, Assassin's Creed Mirage has previews up right now. We got a quick preview roundup for you. We're going to start off with Ian Hyten at Eurogamer, who titles their preview, Assassin's Creed Mirage feels like a clear-sighted return to the series' roots. It reads like this. Baghdad really is the perfect setting for Mirage's vision, to return to the roots of the Assassin's Creed series with an homage to its original game. And after playing it myself, I can say Bordeaux has done a great job of doing just that. There's a return to stealth and scouting as a focus, which really recreated that feeling of classic Assassin's Creed gameplay, especially now that social blending is back, and thanks to the tightly packed, busy streets of Baghdad's Round City and its surrounding towns, parkour is once again at the forefront of the action when it comes to avoiding combat and just generally getting from place to place. It wasn't until the last portion of the gameplay demo that I finally got to enter the Round City and catch a glimpse of the game's full potential. Along with a host of new and returning gameplay changes, social blending is back, which is an excellent way of losing pursuers and reducing your notoriety level. This notoriety system is new for Mirage and gives you progressive retaliation from NPCs. So if you've been caught doing something dodgy, like, say, failing a pickpocketing minigame, basically a one-button quick-time event, NPCs will run and alert the guards. This will not only mean the guards will start searching for you, but it will also make friendly NPCs more weary of you, especially if your notoriety level is really high. If so, they in turn will alert guards to your position if they're suitably agitated. To avoid the guards, I was told you can do things like bribe musicians to create distractions, or, as a last resort, get into a fight. It feels like combat should really come as a last resort due to Mirage's emphasis on stealth, and fighting multiple opponents is especially risky, even though Basim has some cool moves under his belt. And then Jim Trinka at VG247 put up their review titled, Assassin's Creed Mirage is a course correction, not a reset, and reads like this. The combat has been tweaked to be a lot more high stakes. About 15 hours into the RPG-style Assassin's Creed games, you were generally able to get through most of your fights with your eyes closed. Parry, dodge, special, rinse, repeat. Valhalla is one of the few games that I, a fat-fingered idiot, have turned the difficulty up in because it's a snore-inducing otherwise. That's not the case here. Bossium, a younger version of the character we end up meeting in Valhalla, is liable to get his head kicked off or head kicked in if you don't keep your wits about you. Parry windows are just that little bit tighter, and he's much less of a brute than Eivor can ever be. So relying on his finesse and quick wits isn't an optional tactic. It's essential. We're not talking raised difficulty here, to be absolutely clear. Mirage is just as Fisher-Price as every other Ubisoft game.
Go ahead.
But there's some strong language in this preview.
There's a lot going on in this preview.
But the second-to-second decision-making in combat is a lot more engaging. Despite how much has been made of Mirage's similarity to the original game setting, which honestly never sat right with me, given that 9th century Baghdad is about as far cry from 12th century Jerusalem as Zurich is from Hartlepool, there's an explosion of color and
they
soft...
They had fun writing this.
Yeah, they had a blast writing this preview. There's an explosion of soft lighting here that couldn't be any more different to AC1's bleached out, overexposed, extremely mid-2000s not much color palette. And it's probably a lot closer to something like Istanbul from the Ezio trilogy. Bustling, enticing, brimming with history. Everything an Assassin's Creed location should be. Janet, I don't know you as an Assassin's Creed person. Is Assassin's Creed your jam? Do you like Assassin's Creed?
I haven't really spent time with Assassin's Creed. But I've seen it from afar go through every iteration and then back again. And this is the back again part, which is an interesting spot to be in. I will say I'm excited about Assassin's Creed Mirage, and I like want to check it out because what's your Assassin's Creed history? Because I know the baggage, but I haven't lived the baggage. Do you got Assassin's Creed baggage?
I'm not a fan of Assassin's Creed is the short of it. I played through Assassin's Creed
even the good one.
Well, that's the thing is, I played through Assassin's Creed 1, didn't like it. I thought it was okay, right? Like, it didn't blow me away whatsoever. And then I got about halfway through Assassin's Creed 2 and just decided it wasn't for me, right? And, like, thereon, like, I would see new Assassin's Creeds get debuted and go, oh, yeah, it still looks like it's not for me, right? Like, if I had to choose one to try out, maybe I'd try Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag because a lot of people talk about how fun the ship battles are in that game. Or maybe I'd try an Origin or Odyssey, because I know that they're a different kind of Assassin's Creed. They're more like RPG focused than what they usually are. That said, I look at Mirage, and based on these previews specifically, because I've only read snippets from these previews, of course. Like, these previews are longer. Go over and give the click over to these sites that I read from, VG247 and Eurogamer, and the plenty of previews that are out there. Based on these previews, they are talking this thing up as a stealth game, which I know is where the roots of Assassin's Creed are, right? Like, Assassin's Creed 1 was you know, running away from guards, blending in, right? Jumping into haystacks, right? And having that, like, open-world stealth gameplay, which is what Assassin's Creed, I'd say, did such a good job of bringing to the forefront in a different way than other stealth games did. And then kind of evolved past that. The way that, specifically, the second preview I read here from Jim talks about... this is a stealth game, right? Or like even the first preview talking about like you fight as a last resort here. That stuff does appeal to me because I do like stealth games. I do love Metal Gear Solid. I do love Hitman. I do like the idea of having a notoriety level system and having to hide from guards that are chasing after you and like, you know, paying people to play music so that you can get away. All that stuff sounds really fun to me in a way that makes me want to try this out. But yeah, my history with Assassin's Creed is just that, like, you know, it's kind of rolled off, right? Like, I've not been somebody who's gotten super into it.
Yeah, I'm pretty much in the same boat as far as excitement for this. Like, I also love stealth games, also love Metal Gear, and play most games stealthy as much as I can. Because I feel like at this point, we don't have a lot of pure stealth games, but a lot of games have stealth elements, or stealth is like a big drawing point, right? Like, there's the meme of the you can go in stealthy or guns of light, you know?
And
even the stealth is a last resort thing, I think, is definitely a bit of a trope in itself of a lot of times that's said, but then it's like, is it actually that hard to do? And it does seem like there's, you know, there's pockets in these previews that speak towards not necessarily a difficulty, but a requirement of investment from the player of like, okay, you can't just like let this auto run. You gotta be a little bit more on it. Not gonna lie, the idea of tighter parry windows, even though I'm not sure what the parry windows are before, you already know me.
Oh,
parrying, Like, why do we gotta, you know what I mean? Like, why do we
I,
have to
I
do
hear
this?
You, right? Like,
why
I
do we have to do this all the time?
In the streets, they do call me Perry Poppy. Like, I do like a good,
they do.
I do like yes. a good tight Perry window, right? But the way that this preview describes it, it makes me think about how in Hitman, once you get caught, it's pretty much over for you. Like, you can fight, but you're not going to win a big shootout in Hitman. And the way they're describing it here in this preview, like, of course, Assassin's Creed, you're usually able to, like, win a big fight. It's not guaranteed, but, like, in classic Assassin's Creed, you could fight out of a situation if you really wanted to, if you really needed to. This gives me, like, Hitman vibes of, hey, like, if you're going to fight, you can't fight your way out of everything. Like, it is a more challenging fighting system. It's going to be a bit more demanding of you. Like, this game wants you to be creative with how you go about escaping or how you go about stealth. And again, like, that's something that appeals to me. One of the things that I didn't love about playing the OG Assassin's Creed was that it always felt like I was waiting for somebody to attack me so I can click the parry button and then kill them and then wait for the next person. And then, sure. like, hit the parry button and then kill them, right? It was that slow, all right, I know I'm going to get out of this. It's just a matter of all these guys trying to hit me and then me taking them out. I want a bit more, I guess, like, dynamic encounters that feel like they could go anyway. That for me, that's what sounds fun.
Yeah, and I think it'll be interesting to see them sort of, I know, you know, the previews are kind of like debating, like, it's a return to form but not like a full return to form, like the idea of them sort of, it's weird because they've had like different peaks, right? You talk about Black Flag being like one of the pillar ones. You ask fans of the series, they're like, that's the one. But it's that one, and then also the what was it before, Odyssey. It's like they have different bests for the style of
game. Yeah, that's the thing is, like, you know, for like the classic Assassin's Creed,
yes.
people would point to Assassin's Creed 2 and like the 2 trilogy and stuff, right? But then you get 3, and people are like, I don't know about 3. And then you get to Black Flag, and people are like, oh, yeah, this is it. And then I think after that, the next one you probably jump to that people are going crazy about would probably be Origin and Odyssey. Odyssey, especially if you talk to somebody like Greg Miller, who's like, oh, yeah, this is the Western RPG Assassin's Creed that you can play for 50 hours and get lost in and all this stuff, right? But then aside from those, right, it's like those pockets of, oh, yeah, I like Syndicate because Syndicate was the one that had multiple characters and it was in London and all this stuff. Or, you know, I guess I was going to say Rogue. I don't know that many people that are big Rogue fans, but it feels like all these different Assassin's Creed have, like, their pockets of, like, smaller fan bases. But, yeah, there are those tentpole ones. And I think the thing that I appreciate about Mirage, as somebody who's, again, not a big Assassin's Creed person, I appreciate that they're taking a left turn, like a more laid back approach to, hey, we're putting this out, we're not expecting this to be Odyssey, we're not expecting this to be Black Flag, we're not expecting this to be Assassin's Creed 2. We're putting out an Assassin's Creed that harkens back to the core foundations of what OG Assassin's Creed is, and we're making this for a specific kind of fan. The Barrett Courtneys of the world are gonna have fun with this, right? And like, if they make a good one of those, That's gonna be in their that's gonna check off as a win, right? That's gonna be a win for them. It doesn't have to be the biggest Assassin's Creed ever, because guess what? Maybe next year we get Assassin's Creed Red, the one where they're the one that takes place in Japan, and that gets to be the, oh snap, we've wanted this forever type of Assassin's Creed game, right? And then the next one you get Assassin's Creed Hexie, the one that is the Witch Trials, and that gets to be a cool one. And then maybe it is, all right, now you put out another two of those, let's put out another Mirage-style game that is a bit more laid back, right? Or let's put out a 2D Assassin's Creed if they still make those. I think they found a good balance of giving people what they want, but also not overdoing the formula to where it gets tired. Because Assassin's Creed, when it was happening yearly, I think was running the risk of, oh, I'm getting tired of this. It's the Call of Duty thing.
Yeah, for sure. I think one last thing is I'm excited for Mirage, and I feel like, you know, if I'm sitting here, we're trying to predict how it's going to shake out. I think it's going to be a good game that people have fun with. However, I am a little bit worried, even just reading off of these previews or the snippets of the previews you pulled, that it's better, but still like kind of basic. And basic isn't necessarily bad. There's like good basic, right? Like pizza's good basic. I know there's gourmet pizzas, but like for the most part, it's like, all right.
Like a good pepperoni.
Yeah.
That's basic, this is like, but it's nice.
Exactly, like it's solid. Like you don't. Yeah. Sometimes you don't need. Not every
sometimes
game.
Sometimes you don't
to
need
be
a deep dish. Sometimes you don't need a Detroit style pizza.
Yeah, like not every game needs to be like game of the year contender to be like fun and enjoyable and good. But like I think specifically the line of like Mirage is just as, from the VG247 preview, Mirage is just as Fisher Price as every other Ubisoft's game, but the second-to-second decision making in combat is a lot more engaging. Like you know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's very like I mean, and maybe that's just like the writer's style at the moment, whatever, but it's very like, that's a very loaded statement. It's a, like a, it's a little backhanded in a sense.
But
like, oh, it's,
but you get
you're
what
still
they mean,
basic.
Though. And that's the
you're
thing
still
is,
basic.
Like, it's,
yes.
It's, oh man, we have the Ubisoft conversation all the time, right? And like one of the conversations I think is worth having with Ubisoft is, yeah, like, I mean, they make a lot of games that feel like they hit the same level of quality and
yes.
the same type of category of game, right? And like, it's hard for me to get excited about another Ubisoft game. That's why I'm hoping Star Wars breaks the mold. Or maybe even Avatar, but I don't think Avatar is going to break the mold. Like, Avatar looks like a Ubisoft game. That just looks like Avatar Fallout. Like Fallout with blue people. Or not Fallout, sorry, Far Cry. It looks like Far Cry with blue people in it.
It does look like, it was like, I'm like, this is Far Cry.
Yeah.
But it looks pretty because the environment's
But Star Wars looks like something that maybe could break the mold. But if I told you, oh yeah, like, next week a Ubisoft game is coming out, you know what
I'm
the vibes
a little
are.
Bit- I get it, but I'm also a little bit of a Ubisoft apologist. Like, I Just Dance all the time. Remember Rayman? That was fun. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but I guess it's not for me to say that all Ubisoft games are the same.
No,
but I think
I
we
feel
have
you.
Like, there's the Rainbow Six Ubisoft. You know what? Or not Rainbow Six? Sorry, Tom Clancy. You know what a Tom Clancy game looks like. You know what an open world Ubisoft game looks like? A Watch Dogs, a Far Cry,
I will
an
say,
Assassin's Creed, probably an Avatar.
If you say, like, as far as, like, you know, groups, if you're like, you have to play, like, this, the next Ubisoft game that comes out, I'm scared on what that assignment's going to be. Because, again, could it be fire? Technically, yes. But is it likely to be a long game that's, like, just kind of all right? It's like, yeah, that's, like, the more likely thing, you know, a little bit.
Like, what was the last, like, straight up banger that you played out of Ubisoft?
Banger
for that you played out of Ubisoft.
This is cheating.
I'm talking
9
out of 10, 10 out of 10.
Nah, okay. See, now we're getting that.
I'm talking banger with a capital B.
We gotta go really far back. But I will say, as a cheat, because I feel like you're always cheating in these conversations, so I'm gonna cheat. I am looking forward to the Prince of Persia game coming out. Like, I played that at SGF, and like, I really like that. Again, that doesn't count because it's not out yet, but I'm like, and 9 out of 10, that's a high bar. That's a high bar.
I do think that
the
new
Prince
of Persia
game
has the chance to do that. And I also think the new Star Wars game has a chance to do that, right? Like, I think the thing with Ubisoft is that they have to turn that corner and figure out, all right, what is our vision? What is our voice? How do we break out of this mold that we've been in? Because, yeah, when I think back to the last banger Ubisoft game I played, and I would have to really go through the Rolodex. Like, the first thing that comes to mind for me would be Rainbow Six Siege, but that was so long ago. Like, I'm sure there has to have been something since Rainbow Six Siege. A lot of people are dropping Watch Dogs 2 in chat. Far Cry 3, which of course I love too, but that was 2011 or something.
Especially the bar you put 9 or 10, like, and I didn't play Watch Dogs 2. I played like I played Legion, which I liked fine, but like, you know, it didn't. I think the last like 9 out of 10, 10 out of 10 would be the Rayman games, like Legends and Origins.
People are
just 2011, 2013.
People are saying Splinter Cell, right? Which again, this is a decade ago. Like, I'm looking for something out of the last 5 years, y'all.
Five? You know? Nah. Mm-mm. No, I don't think we have it. I don't think we have it.
But a lot of people love Watch Dogs 2. I forget when Watch Dogs 2 came out, but a lot of people do love that one.
But I think that's low-key true for a lot of... like, the 9 out of 10 bar is, like, a rare
Mario
one
and Rabbids. Somebody said Mario and Rabbids.
Yeah! Okay, yeah, yeah.
That's a good one.
Good pull. I don't know why
somebody
I forgot
says Ghost Recon Wildlands.
Yes. Oh, so here's my last question before we move on then, Bless. Do you think this is gonna be that banger? That 9 out of 10?
Assassin's Creed Mirage?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely not.
Okay.
I don't think they think it's going to be that banger.
That's fair. I think I'm looking for an 8 out of 10 here.
That's my thing, is I do think that this will surprise at a like a constant, consistent 8 out of 10. I think enough people will be like, oh yeah, this is a great game. Like, this
would
is...
you draft this game?
No, absolutely not. No.
Wow. Oh, damn.
If like, what?
Right.
If I think this is going to be a 78 on Metacritic, again, like somewhere around an average of 8s out of 10, like some people will give it a 7 probably, right? Like, a 4 out of 5 type game, which is actually, that's pretty good on a 4 out of, on a 5-point scale. I think this game is going to come out, and I think it's going to live up to the task that it's putting out for itself.
Wow.
Or Assassin's Creed Mirage isn't trying to be a 10 out of 10 game. Assassin's Creed Mirage isn't looking around and going, we're going to compete with the Baldur's Gate 3s and the Zelda 2s of the Kingdoms of the World. They just want to be an Assassin's Creed game for Assassin's Creed fans, and I think that's an 8 out of 10, and I think if they hit that, that's a big success. Like, they did the damn thing, because this also started off as DLC. That's the other thing, is that like, if you have a game that started off as DLC and it evolves into a full thing and it comes through and it hits like a full game and it like gives people what they want, I think that's a big success. I'll applaud for that. Also, somebody in chat says Trials, and Trials is fire. That's a good one. Shout out Trials Fusion. And whatever the last Trials game, which name I can't remember. But I like that one. Janet, you know what else I like? Patreon.com/kindoffunny. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunny, you can go there. You can get the show ad-free. Speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending and it helps lower your bills all in one place. And it has surprised multiple people at Kinda Funny, multiple of my friends, at how many subscriptions they have that they forgot about and are still paying for. It's so easy to cancel the ones you don't want with just the press of a button. Rocket Money, it does all the work for you. Rocket Money can even negotiate to lower your bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is take a picture of your bill and Rocket Money will take care of the rest. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending and helps lower your bills all in one place. Stop wasting money on things that you don't use, cancel your unwanted subscriptions, and manage your money the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny. That's rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny. This episode's brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. Football is back in full swing with another week of epic games. And who's got you covered on the action for every single one of them? DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Nobody's missing out on the action this season. All DraftKings customers can take advantage of two new offers every game day this September. You can get in on the NFL Week 2 action with DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app now and use code KINDOFUNNY to sign up. New customers can bet just $5 and take home $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code KINDOFUNNY. The crown is yours. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 1-877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. You can call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort KS. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. See dkng.co/football for eligibility. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply.
Story number three. Speaking of Ubisoft, Ubisoft's X Defiant has been delayed after being rejected by PlayStation and Xbox. This is from George Yang at IGN. Ubisoft could potentially launch X Defiant somewhere between the middle of September to the middle of October after being denied certification by PlayStation and Xbox. In a written update, producer Mark Rubin said that the Ubisoft started the certification process for X Defiant on PlayStation and Xbox at the end of July. However, in mid-August, Ubisoft found out that the game received a not pass. If it had passed, then X Defiant would have been released at the end of August. Now, Ubisoft has to search for compliances and functionality bugs within the game and fix them so that it can ship. Ubisoft plans to submit to first-party platforms for certification again in less than 2 weeks. If the game passes, then it can officially be released by middle to late September. Rubin also states that the game will likely receive a conditional pass, meaning that Ubisoft will have to implement a day one patch, and X Defiant is looking at an early to middle October release. Quote, if we were following the standard rules for game releases, we would have set a date far enough in advance with enough buffer to have a confident release date. However, like a lot of things with this game, we have chosen not the typical route, Rubin explained. He continued, quote, having millions of people play your game long before it's ready is not normal. Not being afraid to show an unfinished game to millions of people with all of its flaws is not normal. These were real tests and not just marketing events. So when it comes to when we will release, the real answer is as soon as we can. And we will continue to update you with more info when we have it, end quote. This is fascinating, Janet, because usually we don't get blog posts from developers saying, we failed certification, so y'all know, we'll come out soon. That's a new one.
Yeah, which I think the spin is an interesting one of like, this is not that it's almost good, but it's kind of like meant to be sold as, hey, like, we're doing things differently, like, and for the, you know, better of the game, which I'm sure they do feel that in the sense that, you know what I mean? Like, they're trying to make the best game that they can, right? And obviously, this is a tough one because it's like, well, it's not like you planned to fail certification. Like, you probably went up for, you know, thinking that you could maybe make it or get it through and it didn't end up working out. Yeah, it is negative news inherently, but again, it doesn't necessarily mean that like when X Defiant comes out, it doesn't have necessarily a bearing on like the end product necessarily, but I think it is a place for pause, just because like you said, it's not a typical thing that you see happen, and I guess it raises concerns about like the process, if it's gonna really hit, is it gonna barely squeak by, or is it gonna really be, you know, stable and solid? Obviously there's mentions of like the day one patch, which again, like day one patches are not like unusual for like any game of really any size at this point. But what about you, Bless? You said you've played like a little bit of, what was it, with the beta? Is that what it?
Yeah, I played the beta back earlier in the year, and I had fun with it. Like I think X Defiant actually is pretty cool. It's another one though, like when we get into the conversation of Assassin's Creed Mirage and what's the success for it, where do you think it hits on Metacritic and all that stuff, right? Like I don't think X Defiant is Call of Duty. I don't think X Defiant is like one of the best shooters of the year, but I do think it's competent and fun, and like it has its shit together in a way that I think is good. Especially kind of funny.com slash you're wrong. I forget what the release structure of this game is. I have to assume that it's free to play, but I also don't want to assume, because you know what that does to you. But like, yeah, if this comes out as a free-to-play game and it's like pretty decent and it has good updates over time, then I can see it kind of carving out its own space for itself. This blog post that they put up, I think, is pretty interesting, because I do take this at face value. I read this as genuine and transparent of, hey, this is a game that we are trying to be as open as possible with, right? We want to provide you guys with updates. We want to let you guys know where we're at with this thing. And we're hoping that level of transparency is able to come back around as feedback that we can take in to make the game better. And so them kind of adopting that idea, that ideology of let's be transparent in all things and even let them know when we failed certification, I think that's pretty neat. I think that's an insight into game dev / game production that we usually don't get. And even the timeline of, yeah, like we failed this back in the summer. This game was going to come out in August, but now it might come out in September to October because of this thing. That's an insight that we usually don't get. I think it's pretty neat that we're getting that. The thing that also surprised me is that this game failed certification on both PlayStation and Xbox. And based on word of mouth of like the certification process, usually like certification isn't just this game is buggy or this game is bad or whatever. Like usually from what I understand, it's like, if you fail certification, that means you crashed the console. like that means you did something, like there was something in your game that is causing these hard crashes, or like you're causing consoles to lock up in a way that PlayStation or Xbox deems unacceptable, right? For a piece of software on their on their platform. Because if you look through the games that make it through to PlayStation and Xbox, just like organize based on release date and look at the latest games that will come out on PlayStation or Xbox and just any game, right? It's going to be the most random, what was that one game? Life of Black Tiger or whatever. Like you're going to get those kinds of games. And those are bad video games. Like those are 2 out of 10. These games are buggy, barely functional, like yada, yada, yada. But those games make it through. I would think that X Defiant just maybe has some kind of recurring bug in there that's crashing PlayStations and Xboxes. Especially if both platforms caught it. And so I hope whatever that is, that gets fixed. And I hope this game comes out and I hope people like it, right? I hope they're able to build it over time, because like I think it's good to have like a varied amount of like first person shooters and competitive games to try and pose a challenge to the big dogs. Even though I don't see the future of X Defiant as a new Call of Duty, but who knows?
You know? Yeah, it's always hard, I think, when you're entering a space that has like the core players already in there, where it's like, okay, well, why are people going to your game instead of just like the made ones that are already dominating? And obviously there's like a hardcore, I think, fan base for certain genres that will check out stuff, kind of like your question at the top about like, am I checking out a farming sim, right? Like there are people that play in the competitive space that are like, I'm gonna check out whatever's coming out. So there'll definitely be space in that sense, but I think as far as carving like a more main foothold, that's a pretty tough ask, or a tough challenge to rise to. So yeah, we'll just have to see. Someone in the Twitch chat did also point out that this is from them. They said, my understanding from my time in game dev is that it's not entirely unusual for a game to fail cert the first time around, but maybe they thought they wouldn't because of the beta. So it kind of more is a
I could see that
funky timing.
The fact that like the beta came out on consoles, people were playing it. I could see them being like, oh yeah, we got this. I'd also saw somebody else in chat mention that, like, you know, games could fail cert also if, like, the wrong button prompts come up for the wrong console or whatever. Sure. Right? Like, this is me just purely speculating on why the fuck would this game fail cert on both platforms. There could be a lot of reasons. Yeah. But it is an unusual thing.
When you started reading the story, I immediately started thinking of, which, like, I don't know, light spoilers, I think the first or second episode, I'm not that far in, so, like, y'all can spoil it more for me than I can for you. But the bear, when they got, like, that... like health code rating of like it was like a C or something because someone like left there was like a hole somewhere. And I feel like it's probably was something, you know, that isn't going to be again consequential in the long run, but is kind of an L in the immediate time in the sense that they had I think a timeline they wanted to hit, and it either didn't account for failing this first one or you know they may have misjudged where it would land at. So now it ends up being a delay when again a lot of these kind of things happen like you said behind the scenes. And it's just kind of rare for us to be privy to some of these like details on what causes these type of snags. But yeah, we'll have to see when it comes out how the full thing holds up.
You mentioning the bear also just made me want to like a video game version of the bear, right? Where like everybody at a game development studio is just yelling at each other.
Isn't that going to be? Oh my
yes,
god!
Dev.
Like a,
yes, Dev.
There's like an indie game that's
There's Mythic Quest, which I like a lot.
Yeah,
which is kind I'm of a, to, the same but different thing.
I'm probably never gonna find it. I'll friggin' text it to you or I'll tweet it out. Like, there's an indie game that's like a it's like a story-driven game that's like that, and there's animals, and it's like a development studio, but I don't remember if that's out yet or it's probably
I think
on my
I know
wish
what
list.
Talking about.
Right, it's like the palette's kind of like. Fall type colors anyway
is it like game
know.
Dev simulator or something like that or are you thinking of something
no it's different? Something different it's something different I don't know we'll figure it out.
Story number four. CD Projekt warns Cyberpunk PC players to check their cooling systems ahead of Phantom Liberty launch. This is Wesley Yenpool at IGN. Ahead of the launch of the Phantom Liberty expansion and 2.0 update for Cyberpunk 2077, developer CD Projekt has warned PC players to double check their rigs are up to the task. Lead scene programmer Philip Piersinski took to X, aka Twitter, to ask Cyberpunk PC players to check their cooling systems in particular. Quote, "We use all that you have. So workload on CPU, 90%, on 8-core is expected," Piersinski said. Quote, "To save your time, please run Citabench or similar to check stability of your systems," end quote. I love how they're making PCs sound like a ship in Starfield. It's like, check your systems, check your cooling, make sure you're good. Citabench is a free cross-platform test suite that evaluates your computer's hardware capabilities. Piersinski focused on cooling systems due to concern players may hit thermal throttling, which in turn may result in poor performance or even crashes. In June, CD Projekt updated Cyberpunk's PC system requirements, highlighting the game will support SSDs for minimum requirements going forward. The developer said the changes were designed to be more up-to-date and target a resolution output of either 1080p or 4K. While the Phantom Liberty expansion is a paid DLC, it launches alongside a significant patch that overhauls the base game and therefore means the PC version will become more demanding. Shannon, are you looking forward to this Phantom Liberty expansion?
No, I've had my fill with Cyberpunk, I think. But also, like, it was one of those things where the classic, if you played it at launch, it's like there's a lot of... But also, I played it on PC, so I really didn't have that many bugs. I just wasn't that taken by the story. There's a lot going on there. But I do know there's a lot of, like, hype around the DLC. Like, I know you're excited for the DLC. Yeah. I think it's interesting that... I mean, it makes sense for, like, how it's baked into the game, right? Where it's like, okay, you have, like, the DLC update and, like, the whole thing becoming, like, more intensive and them kind of putting this out. I mean, this is definitely, like, the second you started reading the story, I thought of Greg and his many anti-PC bits that he does of, like, yes, this is the stuff that is part of PC gaming of, like, making sure things are optimized or, like, can run or that you can whatever. Like, these are all things where this is going to be a Google for me if I were to run. You know what I mean? I had to bring in another person to check this thing because I'm running, like, a pre-built PC that has, I think, a different maybe, like, graphics card. Like, I think I took Isaiah's graphics card and put it in there or his RAM or something because he had, like, a better one. So that's all. And I didn't do that. I didn't touch that. That's not my purview. So, yeah, you know, it's good for them to, I think, at least get ahead of it and sort of draw attention to this kind of thing for those who read this and immediately derive deep meaning from it. But for everybody else, yeah, it's probably, you know, a quick Google, a quick check. What about you? Is your PC ready to run this thing?
I mean, I don't know. I read this and I started sweating because, like, it took me 2 days to install what my NVIDIA 3080 or RTX 3080, and then also install like an internal SSD drive. It took me days to do that. And so you're telling me that I need to check my cooling systems, or else I could hit thermal throttling. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck you're telling me right now.
Could I have swapped these words with other words, and you would still just believe that they're real?
Like, are you kidding me? We use all that you have. So workload on CPU 90% on 8 cores expected. The fuck are you telling me? I don't know what these words mean. I might just play this on PlayStation 5. Even though now that you're saying this, I'm like, are we gonna have a repeat? Like, am I gonna turn on this game on PS5 and it's gonna like it's gonna start chugging and places is like, oh shit, we gotta dig.
I have to imagine that they wouldn't make the same mistake twice with the same game. But
no,
like,
I'm that's not gonna happen. But like, it's crazy that it is crazy that the same game is making.
I do think people's heads go there though. I think with a story like this, people start thinking about that, even if it's not necessarily gonna be true.
I'm really curious to check this out just for the fact that I am playing the same game here, right? Like, this is the same game that's been out since 2020, and you're telling me an expansion to it is going to like really push the limits of hardware. That's cool. I didn't know that could happen. I'm very excited for that. I'm gonna turn on DLSS for this thing. Let's go.
All right, let me know how it shakes out, and I'm sure Andy will just hop in his spaceship and play it just fine, not even have to do anything to his build. But
Andy was anticipating it. He's already checked his thermal throttlers.
Yeah, the cooling vents. Yeah, he's already defrosted what he needs to
he's
defrost.
Already defrosted his fucking PC. He's ready to play some Cyberpunk.
Absolutely.
Our final news story for you, story number 5, Pokemon and Van Gogh Museum are collaborating. This comes from a tweet that was put out this morning from @Pokemon, where they tweeted out, Pokemon cross Van Gogh Museum Amsterdam from the 28th of September 2023. More information is coming soon. Janet, during the ad break, you mentioned that you saw this and you got excited about this.
Yes. I love Pokemon, obviously. And I also am a big fan of museums, especially art museams. I will say, am I the biggest Van Gogh fan? I guess maybe not, but like,
overrated. You know what I mean? This Van Gogh guy.
Yeah, like, you know, I've seen, you know,
catalog.
The blue era. I get it. Like, you know, all right.
He ain't no Jay-Z, you know?
I mean, I like the swirls. I'm not going to lie. I'm a fan of swirls, but yeah. Only a few people would have caught.
I love the idea of like talking about these classic artists, like they're like rappers. It's like, yo, drop your top. Who's your top 5 artists? I got Van Gogh number 1.
Oh man, top artist. That's interesting. I feel like, you know,
I got Banksy number 2 on my roster.
The full gambit. I think it's Berthe Médicot or something, the woman who painted like woman at your friend at your towelette or whatever, or like, you know, it's at the Art Institute of Chicago. So, but yeah, my art background, actually, like, something that I feel like I must have told this story on content, because you're on the internet long enough, you've told everyone everything about everything. But I used to, I was an intern at the Art Institute of Chicago. Like, I worked in the family programs division, and then I got to also tour other sectors of the museum, including, like, you know, the restoration sector, like, I shadowed docents on their tours. That's like why I know about like that pseudo specific painting. Again, probably not specific if you know art, but like is a little specific if you're a regular person who just sometimes walks into a museum. But yeah, I mean, this sounds cool. I get a kick out of the funky Pokemon museum collabs. Like, we've seen little pop-up things happen on smaller scales with, like, I know there's been like Pokemon Anatomy stuff or like, you know, other Pokemon things like integrated like with the museum experience. So yeah, this sounds fun. Hopefully it's actually good though. I will say sometimes these more gimmicky, for lack of a better term, art situations. Yeah, that's the painting. I love that painting. It's so beautiful.
Who did the painting of like the woman that's like,
oh, the Scream?
Yeah.
Oh, chat will know. I don't remember offhand.
That was not Van Gogh.
I don't know who that was, I'll be honest. Like, I'm not even going to pretend.
Because if that was Van Gogh, I want, like, a Pikachu version of that.
People were saying it was...
You know, Mystic Attack says it was
Stop,
me.
Don't say it was me. That's not true.
People are saying Munch, and I don't know if they're joking.
No, facts. We also have Tupac. Y'all, you know what? Y'all are going to be banned from the chat. All right? All you time on. Yourselves out.
Okay, Edward Munch. Okay, it was Edward Munch.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, that wouldn't go... Well, in that case, I want, like, Jigglypuff and Starry Night, I guess. I don't know. It's the one Van Gogh painting.
No, I feel you. There's the bedroom. They showed the flowers as well. Sorry if I don't remember the actual names of the paintings. But, yeah, I don't know if this will just be, again, the paintings kind of repainted, but with Pokemon in them. I think it'll be like a fun
DJ Kento says, isn't the Scream missing? Is that true? Isn't that like a world famous painting? You're telling me that it just went missing? Did somebody steal it?
People steal a lot of stuff.
That's sick as hell.
I forgot, like, I think I was told a story about someone breaking in and stealing something from the Art Institute, but I don't remember really what it was. And it was also like, hey, I was like, hey, what's happened to this museum? But anyway, TLDR, I love museums.
Oh,
I love
the location. Also, it's Edvard Munch, not Edward. I didn't see the. Okay. But can you scroll down again? I didn't see the location. It's in the Munch Museum, I think. The National Gallery and Munch Museum in Norway.
Okay, well, let's head on over. And
yeah, we know the exact location of the screen. We're good, everybody. It's okay.
See where it's
calm
at.
Calm down, we got it.
But yeah, this is a cute collab. You know, hopefully they do it in a way. What
I
was going to
mention. Stolen in 2004. That's insane.
This has gone completely off the rails at this point. We're now like deep in the weeds of Wikipedia.
In 2008, what was that? Idemitsu committed an endowment of 4 million Norwegian krone towards the conservation, research, and presentation of the Scream and Madonna. The singer? No, I'm just kidding. I heard Kevin laugh in the other room.
Anyway, hopefully this is better than like what I heard. They had that Van Gogh immersive like exhibit that toured for a while, and everyone said it sucked. It was basically just like a projector for like $50-$60.
Super
so
loud too. Like the first time. I didn't go see it. Yeah, no, I didn't go see it, but like a friend of mine went, and then like 2 weeks later, Paul was like, "Oh, I'm thinking about going." I was like, "Fuck, sounds like it's terrible." And then sure enough, she came back from it, and I was like, "Well, how was it?" She was like, "It was awful. Just super loud. One of the projectors was broken. It's a bummer."
Yeah, so hopefully this is more fun than that. Yeah. It seems cool. This is like a cute little collab.
Yeah, I'm going Van Gogh, Banksy. Who's the guy that was painting them Campbell's chicken soup? You know who I'm talking about.
No, I do, but my brain actually just started breaking. I know that artist. It's going to drive me crazy.
Who's the homie? That was like that.
Warhol.
Yeah, Warhol's up. Warhol might be number one, actually.
I like the fake answers, though. Mark Echo. Yeah, famed artist Mark Echo.
Who's the
homie
that did like the fingers touching? It was God. God in the, was it Adam?
Was it Leonardo? Right? Or
DiCaprio?
The Creation painting?
No, yeah, the Creation,
the Sistine
Chapel.
The Sistine Chapel, yeah. Michelangelo.
There we go. I always mix those.
Michelangelo's
that's an average
up there for
American
sure.
Cultural history knowledge. Yeah, bless. You have to stop like naming famous artworks for me to then not remember who made them. Like it's just.
Bless. How do you feel about M.C. Escher?
Oh, I actually really like M.C. Escher. Actually, M.C. Escher is up there.
And yeah, fuck.
Part
yeah,
of this is because I played Manifold Garden, and that whole game is just inspired by M.C. Escher shit of like the like infinite stairs and all that shit. That stuff is really cool to look at. And so, no, yeah, M.C. Escher, that's definitely my top five MCs.
There it is. Top
five MCs.
M.C. Escher.
Oh, my God.
M.C. Hammer. I don't know. McDonald's. the list goes on in terms of MCs that I like.
It is far too early for you to be this off the rails at this point. Like, I don't know. I don't know how you're going to get to the rest of the day.
Janet, I can't. Oh, Roger McCourney's out there, my favorite artist, too. His thumbnails throughout the chain. Janet. I can't wait to see what this Pokemon and Van Gogh collaboration looks like. But, oh God, it's 11:10. But that exhibit is just so far away. If I want to come out to Memograph Shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today, we got Eternites for PS5, PS4, and PC. Now our play with your food for PS5, PS4, PC, and Mac. Was it Nor?
I think it's Nor.
When I said Nor, it felt like I was an
Australian
person.
No?
Yeah, an Australian no. That's what it felt. Yeah, Nor. Yeah, play with your food. Super Bomberman R2 for PS5, Xbox Series X, PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. It's crazy that I didn't know that there was a second one of these coming out. You know? The first one was the Switch launch title. That was a big deal. Now they're just putting out the sequel. Myth Force for PC, PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X, and Switch. Life by You Early Access for PC, and then the Isle Tide Hotel for PC, PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X, Switch, and mobile. New dates for you. Planet Zoo Oceana Pack is set to launch on Steam on September 19th. Football Manager 2024 launches November 6th on Xbox One, Xbox Series X and S, PS5, Switch, mobile, and PC. That is, of course, on my fantasy draft. Look out. Slave Zero X launches February 21st, 2024 on Xbox One, Xbox Series X, PS4, PS5, Switch, and PC. Cyberpunk 2077 Phantom Liberty Night City Wirestream is set for September 14th at 8 a.m. Pacific Time. And then RGG Summit is set for September 20th at 12 p.m. JST. Deal of the day for you. Hypnospace Outlaw is $6.99 on US eShop. And Janet, now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong, where you write in and let us know what we got wrong, as we got it wrong, so we can correct it for those watching later on YouTube and listening later on podcast services around the globe. That's it for XCast. Thierry, who is the developer of Sea of Stars, mentioned on the FPS podcast that Sea of Stars has over 2 million players total when including sales and subscription services. And I'm sure Unity looked at that and went, wait a second. That doesn't match the 250,000 copies sold.
They're like, whoa, people being successful after using our engine?
They're like, wait.
How can I make this involve me?
You're telling me with our engine, you got 1,750,000 more players that aren't paying to play the game, that aren't buying copies of the game. You're cutting us out of that. Oh, we're changing our policies. That's what Unity did. Skeeter says, in terms of fighting being more difficult in AC Mirage, I feel like that's an improvement on the design of the old games. I feel like fleeing from a bunch of guards after detection using parkour feels more classic AC than the old fighting.
These subjective you're wrong.
Yeah, that's not really your. That's an opinion.
No, yeah.
And then Roddick, the homie from CD Projekt, says, bless, neither Cyberpunk 2077 after Update 2.0 nor Phantom Liberty will melt your PC. Game will perform well on recommended hardware. Check our updated system requirements and keep your cooling systems well-maintained. Appreciate that, Roddick. I'm good. I don't have to worry about it. Because I don't know where I would even... I don't even know if my PC has cooling systems. Is that a requirement? Do all PCs have cooling?
Yes, they do.
Is it the fans?
Are that's
they
the, what stops the fires fans. From happening.
Often it's like also a little like water... What is it? You know, like a... The, like your cooling system. Like there'll be a block that's connected on top of your CPU. And that's a liquid cooling
system. Can I just put some ice on it?
No.
No?
No.
I can't like get like a block of ice and just put it on top of my PC?
No, that would short circuit it very hard.
Huh. It seems like a mistake. I'm gonna develop this. Make it
just
happen.
Take the sides off.
Can I just take the sides off? If I just take those glass,
I don't like this game. I don't like this game we're playing. It's making me feel icky.
What happens if I take the sides off? I'm just giving it more like breathing space. I gotta air it out a little.
It's gonna be dust. You'll touch it by accident. It'll electrocute you.
I'll touch it by accident.
Yeah, but think about
what do you think? I'm swinging my feet under there.
Yeah, 100%. Your feet aren't floating. You're touching the ground.
I mean, my feet are touching the ground. I'm not that
Chet says fill it with beans.
I love how I'm saying that. My feet are not touching the ground right now. I'll tell you that. Hold on. Now there. I had to scoot up. Tomorrow's host for a Kind of Funny Games Day, they're going to be me and the one and only Andy Cortez. If you're watching this live after the post show, Mike is playing some of that there, Kingdom Hearts. Of course, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday live right here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. Until next time. Game Daily. Digital. But it's all good because we got Mike here ready to run the post show. Also, oh no, what's that?
The iPhone event.
Yeah.
On the new iPhone, you can play Resident Evil 4 Remake.
Whoa.
Resident Evil Village and Assassin's Creed Mirage.
Holy cow. Wait. On the new iPhone?
On the new iPhone.
What about the new Assassin's Creed? Aren't they making a mobile Assassin's Creed?
Correct.
And they're also putting out Mirage.
Correct.
Which is an
actual... Is it just like an app?
Well, you would through cloud?
You would think that the excitement would be that you would play an Assassin's Creed game and then go, oh shit, they're making another Assassin's Creed game for my phone? That's crazy.
Yeah, but like if you can play Mirage on your phone, does that not just mean they can port the other Assassin's Creed games onto your phone?
Ubisoft, baby.
And also, why do you need to make the mobile Assassin's Creed?
You're asking too many questions. You're
making a mobile Assassin's Creed game.
It's Ubisoft, man. It's Ubisoft.
Just go and put
They're
some
also
water.
Making a pirate game.
Skull and Bones?
And they're also making X Defiant. They're making a lot of games over there.
You excited for any of these?
No. They're making a lot of games.
I forgot about Skull and Bones.
Hi, Janet. It's great to see you. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm wonderful, Janet. We have a lot to catch up on you and I that I cannot wait to chat it up with you about. Of course, blessing, yes, I am wearing brand new Kind of Funny merch. Thank you so much for asking.
Oh, I was going to say, I was like, that looks
debuting different. And showing off and teasing some Kind of Funny brand new merch coming very, very soon.
Mike, who's your top? Drop your top five artists.
For music?
No, just like visual artists. The painters. Illustrators.
Sculptors, if you want.
My guys, 2Gs and Countin', Garrison Gist. Shout out to Garrison out there. He a lot of paintings in my house from him.
Nice.
There's this lovely artist up in Steamboat Springs who drew a great painting of me on the snow bike. I believe her name is Ski Bum Art. Shout out to Ski Bum Art right there. I really think she does some great stuff. I want to give a shout out to Mike Bennett up in Portland, Oregon, who does some really fun, like, cute animals. And, like, Janet, if you have kids one day and, like, you want to put a slow sign, you want to put a slow sign out in, like, the street so they can play safely. He does, like, fun, cute, like, animal slow signs, which I thought were really cute.
I like the implication that, like, Mike, like, looked at me and was like, he's not going to have kids. Thought about Kevin.
I was thinking that, too. Like, Mike was like, let's cut the fat in this conversation. Yeah. Let's talk to someone who actually has a chance.
If you want to have kids, Janet, because it's not going to be Bless. It's not going to be Kevin.
No, and I mean, he was not wrong.
I have three more quick shout-outs.
You don't think I'm going to have kids someday?
He'll have some kids someday.
Then why didn't you refer to Kevin?
Well, I like to get you and Janet involved because you're my two people that I'm talking to.
Putting kids on Janet's
in the
jacket.
Box right now.
kids on
my
Janet.
Final three really quick shout-outs. Nerf Alice, Chris Young Toff, and, of course, the incredible Jesse, who does all of the kind of funny stuff. Those are my five top artists right now.
See, what's funny is I was considering, like, you know, a Van Gogh or, like, Warhol. Classics.
There's me. Chris Anka as well. Yeah, don't forget.
Oh, Chris Anka's up there for sure.
Put some respect on Chris Anka's name. I love Chris Anka.
I got Chris Anka above Van Gogh.
One day I'm going to save my pennies up and I'm going to get a Chris Anka original in my house.
Ooh.
It's going to take a while, Chris Anka. So I'll get back to you in 2027.
Would you want a spider person or would you want like you as a spider person or do you just want him to like.
No, I want to give Chris Anka a check and just say, make whatever you want. Get weird. That's get big. Weird with
that,
it.
You but know? You're going to have that in your house. That's a sacrifice.
Uh-huh.
Because what if he just makes some wild shit?
That's fine.
What if like that was the day where Chris was like, I'm going to turn to the dark side.
He can do that. He can do that. Some wild shit. I'm saving my money. Welcome in, Kind of Funny Best Friends. It is your Games Daily Post Show with me, Snowbike Mike, and your two incredible show hosts. Of course, I have Janet Garcia here and Blessing Adeoye Jr. And I'm excited to jump into the chat with all of you. Don't forget, you can get involved right now during our post shows by, of course, using that super chat feature or the hype chat feature over on Twitch and on YouTube. Of course, if you want to dive into today's news stories a little bit deeper than the show did, or if you want to bring up a random topic of discussion, like Janet, how's your Kingdom Hearts playthrough going? Let me know all about it right now.
Oh man, I gotta see where I'm at. I'm gonna try to pull it up on my thing. It's going great. I'm enjoying my time.
Okay.
I'm shocked that I'm enjoying my time because it was such a could go in any direction type of game. You hear everything from everybody. The people that like it are like, don't play it. The people that don't like it are like, don't play it. The people that don't like it are like, play it because I'm not going to play it and I want to see someone play it. And so you get, whether you like it or dislike it, you have an opinion and it might be to play or not play it, which they don't align based on liking it, which is very rare. Like, I've never seen that, I think, with a game ever. I've been playing games for like 20 years or something. Yeah, where am I now? I'm at, and no spoilers, please, for the world. I just did the Monstro stuff, which I know you did as well. And I did some of the tournaments, the optional.
Oh, okay, okay.
Tournaments at the back at the place or whatever, like the freaking Coliseum.
Yes.
And I squared up against
Olympia.
I forgot who I was fighting.
The dog, the scary dog, Cerberus.
I've been fought the dog. Like, so the dog was earlier.
Got that, handled that,
you know?
One.
I'm back for, like, the optional, like, grind of things.
Oh,
it doesn't
okay.
end with you fighting, like, two people, though. And the people were really good. And I was like, this is too much.
Okay. Oh, okay. I like that. I'm playing on easy, so I'm having an easy time just kind of breezing through it. People wanted me to just get the story. That's what they wanted. They were like, Mike, you don't want to worry about the grind, Mike. A lot of people were worried that I'd have to worry about the grind. Yes.
Yeah. I feel like, play games how you want, play games however it works for you. The thing that I'm sad you're missing out on is how ridiculously hard this video game is, Mike. Mike, this is...
I've had to go to places.
That freaking dog you're talking about, I think I was fighting that dog for an hour. I swear to God.
Oh my gosh.
I swear to God. It is like Demon Souls. Like, I beat Demon Souls, and I think back to my Souls training when I'm out here fighting these battles.
Well, thank you to the chat for making sure I played on easy. That's great to hear, Janet. I love that you're playing it. You and I are playing it. We're having some fun with it because, I think there's a lot of preconceived notions that could have gone into this. And I think for me, if I brought in like a Nick or an Andy or anyone from the team alongside me, I think we quickly would have got derailed and made fun of the game and like not given it the proper due. And so I feel like me being alone by myself, I'm able to be like, okay, like let's actually dive in and try. And I'm having a ton of fun with it. I'm having a lot of fun with it. And I'm excited to see it all the way through. That's the main goal. See it through. And I see Janet right now raising some money for a great cause. Opportunity to play Kingdom Hearts 2. So if you want to see Janet play Kingdom Hearts 2, you can go on over. She's having a great charity stream right now with the American Heart Association, Janet, I believe. Mm-hmm. She's doing big things over there.
Big things popping.
Twitch streamer. You're a Twitch streamer too. Remember that?
Not really.
You're a Twitch streamer.
I guess this is on Twitch. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Well, when did you last stream on your channel? It's been a little while.
Yeah, like I don't stream game. That often on my channel.
Yeah.
It's just like I go home and I'm like, what if I just lied down?
You get horizontal. See?
What if I get horizontal?
You can't get horizontal. Like,
you know, what if I just don't interact with the outside world?
Yeah.
You know?
I love to lay down.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Janet. Yeah, I love laying down, but here's the deal. You can't get horizontal. Can we talk about this morning really quick?
You lay down without getting horizontal?
I'm saying you can't. Like, the moment you get horizontal, your day is over, right?
Oh, yeah.
Perfect example today. Janet, we get a great early morning workout in, right? I'm feeling good, looking good. The sun rises. I go into work. I'm feeling good. Me and Roger start moving some stuff. Blessing's chopping it up with Roger. We're teasing Roger. We're having a good time, right? Mm-hmm. Roger then says, hey, there's an Apple event. Let's turn it on. I proceed to sit down, Janet, and I haven't got up for the past hour. So, like, my day's ruined now. I shouldn't have sat down.
A good nap?
No, I hate naps, actually. I feel like I'm wasting the day if I nap. I hate naps. Mm. Yeah.
Oh, dude, I
have a big problem
with
naps.
I need a good nap.
Really?
Or else, like, otherwise I'm falling asleep. I've been falling asleep at 10 p.m., 9:30 p.m.
That's good.
Like the last
That's good
few
for you,
months.
Though, right?
That's great for you.
Yeah, but I have things to do. I want to be productive, and I'm in bed like, oh, fuck, it's 9:30. I got to go to sleep. You know, that's why like I'm trying to be more active about naps, because I think if I get home right after work and just take a quick nap,
no,
I think I'm gonna be able to stay up longer.
But then you're gonna get addicted to the naps. Like I like naps, but yeah. I'm team nap sparingly. Like I think a nap should be reserved for when you really need it. And I guess you're saying, oh, I need it every day, but then maybe you're not like. Well, you said you sleep pretty early, though. Are you actually sleeping though, or are you just scrolling?
No, I'm sleeping. I'm sleeping.
Mm. So are you getting like 8 hours a night?
Well, the thing is, so my napping has changed since, I am getting a lot of hours, but also my napping has changed since coming into the office. When I was working from home, I was napping like crazy, dude. Like, don't tell our bosses this, but like, I'll finish an episode of KHD and just slither into bed.
Good for you.
Wake up at 12:30.
That's fine. Like,
all
right, why not?
Let's do PS.
Yeah, he needs a little nap.
I'll just nap in all the time. It's hard to nap when Greg Miller's watching me.
I've noticed, though, you coming in at 8 a.m., right? We've talked about it. You've been coming in earlier. You're on the ball more. Like we talked about, right? Where like sometimes you felt like you were still starting your motor during KFGD.
Yeah, I think
there's a noticeable change that like you're on now.
I think
the 2 hours essentially ahead of like showtime with like pre-work being up, I think it showed that you're on it now.
I'm drinking coffee earlier. I'm getting food in me earlier. Mm-hmm. I'm getting started earlier. So by the time I sit down, now it's like, all right, I'm kind of ready to roll.
Yeah.
But I'm only able to do that because I'm going to bed early. I wake up at 6:30. I'm like, fuck, I'm just laying here now. Like I can't sleep anymore.
Come to the gym with us. Let's jump into the chat right now. We got my guy, Big. He's got about 7 G's in that one. Yeah, this is our first
Janet
one.
Janet has a heart out in 5 minutes.
Oh, okay. Well, then we'll make this happen. Janet, you're incredible. Quick one for you then, Janet. Do you think Nintendo will release an upscaled Breath of the Wild?
No. I feel like they just don't do that with their games. I don't think I can think of an example where they've done that. There's a world where we could see maybe just like... Even the remasters, they don't do a lot of. So, yeah, I think what we got for Breath of the Wild is what we have.
Okay.
I think, God, it's that thing of it's Nintendo. Nintendo's weird. I think it'd be so smart to, when the Switch 2 comes around, us get a bundled Breath of the Wild plus Tears of the Kingdom, like, remastered collection, where it is, like, you know, DLSS, ray tracing, better resolution. Because I don't know if you've seen this, but, like, the talk is that at Gamescom behind closed doors, they brought devs in, and they're showing off devs a version of Breath of the Wild that was like this upsampled version.
Really?
Yeah. The like DLSS
okay.
Breath of the Wild is
okay.
What they're showing people. But like that could just be a demo thing. It probably is just a demo thing.
Yeah.
I think it'd be so smart to do a Tears plus Breath. I don't know why I said it like that. But a Tears of the Kingdom plus Breath of the Wild collection.
Be a killer combo. Be a great combo.
For sure.
DJ Kento writes in and says, shout out to Nerf Alice. Best artist. She's great. Raleigh says, Mike, does Blessing's feet touch the floor? Yes, no, they do, Raleigh. He's 6'4" in real life. Very tall dude. great looking, very handsome, well dressed.
Yeah.
Feet are touching the floor right now.
I wish I was shorter than 6'4 though, because like 6'4 is too tall.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, 6'4 is the optimal height.
6'4 is too tall.
6'4 is where you want to be.
Like, I feel like if I was a strong, say 5'8, I feel like that'd be worth it.
Oh, okay. You know? Okay.
Like,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
Good, like, that's a really good height right there.
Well, you know, people will be looking forward to seeing
just tall enough is what they call 5'8.
Final one for Janet before we have to say goodbye to her really quick. CJ writes in and says, will you get a Sony SOP/Nintendo Direct this week?
Oh, this week? No.
It's Tuesday. Wouldn't we already know?
I don't think we get a state of play.
Okay.
The Nintendo Direct rumors have been so, they've been so thick. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think either this week or next week.
That's really?
Prediction, yeah.
A Sony state of play.
What's today, Tuesday?
Or no, Nintendo Direct.
I think Nintendo Direct, not a state of play.
Wow.
I think a Direct.
Oh my gosh.
It's possible that they like show up tomorrow and they're like, state of, or Nintendo Direct coming Thursday. Like Nintendo does that. I wouldn't be surprised. Just based on all the rumors, I feel like one sometime this month is guaranteed.
The thing I hate about the Nintendo rumors, I know sometimes there's like more trusted sources than like others, but I feel like people will just randomly be like, a Direct's happening soon, and it's like based on just their vibe, and I'm like, it's not a rumor. That's just you feeling that. Like, don't be putting that out on the ether, because now people will like read that, and it's like a game of messed up telephone where people. Yeah. And then they have so many Directs so often that it's like, at one point you're gonna kind of be right, so then you'd be like, you see, I know it's, I have my hand on the pulse. I'm like,
yeah,
no, like it's just they just have a heartbeat, so like you're gonna feel it at some point, but like, yeah, like,
but like there's a thickness to the rumors this time around where I'm there's something there. I think there's something there.
Is it thick with a Q?
It's thick with two C's.
Thick with two C's. Okay.
Yeah, that's very thick. That's very thick.
Very thick.
Okay, yes. Final one before we say goodbye to Janet. Steven Perez writes in and says, take a nap. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us on today's Kinda Funny Games Daily Super Chat Post Show. We are far from done. Of course, I'm kicking it over to the lab for more Kingdom Hearts 1.5 Remix gameplay right now. We'll say goodbye to Janet, but you can catch her on so much more Kinda Funny content and all of her awesome content over on her personal Twitch channel and so much more, because she's doing everything. We didn't even get to talk about Halloween Horror Nights and what she thought about The Last of Us one. Janet, you owe me that one. We do need to talk about that, but she's got to go. Yeah. So goodbye, Janet. We'll see you later. Blessing, great show today.
You too.
Goodbye, everyone. I'm taking over now. I got to go over there. Goodbye.